The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decision.
Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network, helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth. Now, here's your host, financial advisor and CEO of Cordasco Financial Network, Steve Cordasco.
Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth podcast. Thrilled that you are joining me today. I have a couple of guests on a unique retirement plan. This type of retirement plan has been around for a while, but it's sort of been on the shelf and not so much discussed as much as other retirement vehicles like a 401k or some of the derivatives of IRAs for business owners like SEP IRAs. So we're going to jump in. And the topic of discussion today is defined benefit plans. They potentially allow the largest yearly retirement contribution savings to you, huge savings in taxes, depending on your situation. Business owners may be able to save, are you ready for this, over $2.6 million for retirement in just 10 years. That's why we want to talk about this as being such a powerful vehicle to those of you, the business owners. So joining me from Cordasco Financial Network is Tim Joseph. He's a CPA as well as financial advisor at Cordasco Financial Network. Tim, welcome to Your Life, Your Wealth.
Thank you, Steve. Very great to be here.
And joining Tim and I is Philip Pirio. And Phil is Senior Plan Design Consultant and dedicated defined benefit services, part of Future Plan by Ascensus. Phil Pirio, welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth podcast with me, Steve Cordasco, and Tim Joseph.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for having me today. And I look forward to spending this time and discussing defined benefit plans really as a tax strategy from our point of view.
Yep. Very, very, very powerful tools that business owners can use. And we know, Timmy, as you know, and I know, we have a fair amount of business owners that we help. Our job is to solve complex problems, help people understand and put complex topics that evolve around money and finance, your taxes and your wealth, take these complexities and make them easy to understand. So that's the goal here today, to make these powerful tools that you can use in your business. Many of you worried about the future of taxes to help you save taxes. So let's jump in. Phil, can you discuss the essentials of defined benefit plans and what they're all about?
Sure. The defined benefit plan allows someone to put away a lot more money than they could otherwise do with a defined contribution plan like a SEP or a 401k. When self-employed people are looking to put away some serious money, usually they say, well, how can I do that when I have a lot of taxes to pay? So yeah, it allows people to put away that much more money because we're thinking of distribution rather than a limit on a contribution. So that's what a defined benefit plan is. Defines a benefit for the future.
There's two types, defined benefit, defined contribution. In the defined contribution space, that would be the 401k world.
Yes, exactly right. The 401k world allows someone to put away somewhere around at the top 60-ish $1,000 per year. So defined benefit plan is more sensitive to age and sensitive to collecting the money necessary to pay a benefit, hence the word defined benefit. And so you don't have the stricture of a percentage limit or a contribution limit. So that's why defined benefit plans are pretty popular in increasing contributions.
At some point, defined benefit plans sort of took the back seat to defined contribution plans and 401ks. You know, we have a lot of people listening to us, and some are not business owners or they're not self-employed, but they're so used to the language of 401k and defined. Mm-hmm. They don't know a 401k is a defined contribution. I mean, they might, but at the end of the day, the label on it is 401k. Why has defined benefit plans, or correct me if I'm wrong, tend to have taken a back seat to 401ks and defined contributions?
Well, a couple of reasons. If you take it all the way back to 1983-84, there were some requirements put in for defined benefit plans that made them rather unattractive. They cut down contributions that would have been available for small businesses. And large companies still had defined benefit plans at that point and were providing those. And I mean by large, 100 people, 1,000 people, 10,000 people, they were still viable at that point. And for the small business, however, they became unattractive due to some changes in the law. And that remained the case till 2000 when things started to change with the Bush tax cuts. So that was an interesting time. And they became more attractive again for small businesses. And you have one other thing happening. And one other thing was that the population of the country was aging. And so defined benefit plans per se became rather untenable for even the large companies. They'd been unattractive due to tax law changes for the small companies. And now, in the last 20 years, things have really turned around for those small businesses and small self-employed people generally.
So where are we today with defined benefit plans, being that you gave some math for the 401k? How powerful today are the defined benefit plans for a business owner, as well as let's talk about the employees of the business too?
Sure, sure. I mean, there are some people whose businesses themselves and perhaps a spouse or an immediate family member working with them. And for them, those folks are just looking to increase contributions significantly. Most of the time, looking for something over double. So 100,000, 125,000, which is just not possible in a defined contribution plan. So people are looking to reduce their taxes and to reduce their taxable income currently. Hold on to that money. Makes sense, right? People want to hold on to what they earn. And they also want to pay their taxes more on their own terms.
So if we can, who would be a candidate for a defined benefit plan? What type of business, what type of individual?
Yes, well, it would be a self-employed person, number one. It would be someone who is looking to put more money into a plan than a 401k would allow, and that generally is somewhere between $57,000 and $63,000, depending on what the age is. And so those kind of folks are looking for that. There are people who have been profitable and look for the foreseeable future to be profitable. So they're looking to increase their contributions, barring anything unforeseen. And we all know unforeseen things happen, but barring anything unforeseen, they can see 3 to 5 years in the future. And they are looking for those more substantial reductions in their current tax liability and also a way to put money away faster for their retirement. And that's in a nutshell true of whether they have no employees, rank and file people, or if they have employees. And the job there is just simply to provide a type of defined benefit plan that allows people to put that money away with controllable costs for employee costs on their employees. So it can be done either way, and that's the job of a design consultant.
Also, can you give some clarity to alternatives for small businesses with employees, like cash balances and safe harbor 401ks, the profit sharing plans that are out there?
Yes.
Even deferred comp.
It is an important point to bring up, and it's an important area to look at. Companies with employees, cash balance plans work in concert with a safe harbor 401k plan. And the way they do it is really an amazing thing, and we don't have time today to go into a lot of detail there. Suffice it to say, the Safe Harbor 401k plan allows more controllable employee cost. So it keeps the employee cost down as much as possible, and yet allows the owner to maximize their contributions.
Can you just give a quick, like, how that works? How do we explain that textbook 101 to an employer listening right now saying, okay, you got the Safe Harbor 401k and then this other thing? Is there a way you can give clarity to it?
Sure. Since a defined benefit plan is sensitive to age and income, generally the owner of that company is going to be older than their employees. So what happens is we look to the owner first, how much would you like to contribute to a plan? Then we translate that to your employees. And what we're going to do is favor you in the cash balance defined benefit plan, and we're going to use the tests that the IRS provides for us to test a safe harbor 401k plan. So, for example, The owner might put away in a cash balance defined benefit plan, say $125,000 for in their own particular credit that they would get. Mm-hmm. Now, in the 401k plan, given the fact that most employee bases are younger than the owner, what we do is favor the employees in the Safe Harbor 401k plan. And the way we do that is because time and interest really are very powerful tools, as you guys know. And so if you put in $3,000 or $4,000 compared to the $150,000 the owner is putting in for employee Y is 25 years younger or 15 years younger, let's say, than the owner. When we move ahead that $3,000 or $4,000 time and interest to their retirement age, then and compare that to the owner who is retiring in perhaps 10 years, 5 years, and it depends on the situation, obviously. But it equates the benefit of the employee who's getting a relatively small amount of money being put in for them to that very much larger contribution that's required to pay exactly the same benefit. So we're equating the benefits of the owner and the employee. The employee benefits a lot because those are nice contributions they're getting. And the owner is benefiting because of the tax advantage of being able to reduce their income by the amount being contributed and the fact that they can keep better control on their money as they grow their business.
And what you're doing is you're telling a business owner, look, you might have a 401k in place. Put a safe harbor on that 401k, which means you're going to put a match in place, correct? On
their
dollars.
That is correct.
So they give $10,000, right? They give $10,000 to their 401k. And let's just, for sake of conversation, say there's a $1,500 match because there's a safe harbor mm-hmm. in place and that money is free and clear. There's probably not a vesting schedule. Maybe there is. We don't get too into the gory details.
Oh, of course not. Yeah.
But mm-hmm. because of that match helps the owner who has the 401k that they can put their own money into, but they also have a cash balance plan that they can put above and beyond in the 401k because the safe harbor is in place. Is that what you're saying?
Very much so, yes. Way above and beyond what the employees are being contributed for.
Okay, mm-hmm. So now the business owner is giving that employee, let's say it's Tim Joseph, who's an employee of Cardasco Financial Network, and he put 10 into his mm-hmm. 401k, and we gave him a match of $1,500 as a company.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean the owner gets to put into that cash balance plan the amount of money that he allowed Tim to get? And you add that to all employees and that's the dollar amount? Or is it just check the box? We allow Tim and other employees to have a safe harbor plan that we match. Therefore, we can add this other cash balance plan that allows us to plow even more money away. Meaning if we're putting away for owners, do you have to put away for employees as well the same amount in that cash balance plan?
No. And that's the key to having the safe harbor 401k. Mm-hmm. It takes away the otherwise very real obligation to put away an equivalent amount of money in the cash balance plan, which is going to cause a very high cost on employee side. And so what happens is by using a safe harbor 401k, you are matching, let's say 3% of that person's mm-hmm. pay, and then you're putting in an additional amount that equivalent to 2 to 4.5%. More, so about a 7.5% of their pay, of the employee's pay, being contributed in total. And all of that amount is being used to test the benefits that that employee would get out of the 401k plan compared to the benefit the owner's getting in the cash balance plan. And that age difference, that time and interest really does help to keep down the employee cost. It's really an amazing process to see that happen, and everybody benefits by it.
And that's because, and look, you know, I'm sort of kind of leading you down the path because Tim knows and mm-hmm. I know we do a lot of work in this space. We know the rules, but sometimes it's hard to translate those rules to the public. So you know, sometimes I'd like to play Mr. Magoo and I can't really find my way. And you solve for it. And that's wonderful, right? So if I have to break this down to pretty simple reasoning, it sounds like mm-hmm. the government, Uncle Sam, has said, look, business owner, we'll allow you to plow a lot of money away from for yourself, break any normal discriminating tests, because we really want to have you give a match to your employees in their 401k and give them safe harbor opportunities. So here's the carrot to do that. We'll allow you to add a piggyback, I guess is a way to put it, or another type of vehicle that you're allowed to put additional dollars into because you're giving a benefit to your employees. Did I break that down to simplicity, or did I get it wrong?
No, that in its simplest terms, that's exactly right. We'll allow you to put in a very large amount of money for yourself, and as long as you're willing to contribute some for your employees on a reasonable basis and on a very set basis, not arbitrary. So it's all based on tests that are that make all of this, all of these transactions and these calculations legal and above board and just very viable.
So there's formulas, and the formulas, there's math behind it, and there's rules, and you got to check boxes. Let's jump into the role and responsibility of the CPA. Tim came from the CPA world, financial advisor. I come from the financial advisor world, and the third party administrator. You come from the administrator world, correct? Right. And so
that is correct. Yeah.
And that's what we're doing here today. We have three of the key areas that are so important for setting these types of plans up: the CPA, the financial advisor, and the administrator. So can you talk about those roles?
Sure, absolutely. In a very short word, the CPA generally looks to the client's interest in terms of whether or not the plan is appropriate. And so the CPA is looking at their tax situation, their overall financial condition, what the view is of the owner going forward, those kinds of things, because CPA generally has a very intimate knowledge of those activities for the client. The financial advisor works with not only the third party administrator in a sense, and I'll tie that together in a sec. However, it works with the third party administrator and the CPA and the client. Now, the financial advisor is working with the client to come up with investing the assets. And there's a kind of a different model when you have a defined benefit plan for what people usually think of from investing. However, the financial advisor then would look to ways to solve that problem, to meet the investment objectives of the plan by helping the client direct those contributions. And the third party administrator takes care of the initial design work based upon the opinion of the CPA. Is it appropriate? Are they thinking about contributing $400,000 when in fact they don't have that money? They want to. What would make sense is maybe $150,000, and their cash flow is a little bit like this and like that. And, you know, that's where the CPA uses their science and art in figuring that out for the client. And the third party administrator takes those numbers and would design the plan so that the client is being benefited in the way they want to be. They're contributing the amount they want to contribute. And so then we go from there and look at the third-party administrator's duty in preparing the forms every year. Since these plans are a separate trust, then the third-party administrator would provide the returns for that trust and also do something very important in a cash balance plan. And this is as opposed to someone who has a 401k plan. These contributions have to be certified by an actuary. And that's someone on our staff as a third-party administrator that completes that form and certifies the contributions are true and correct. And then that's important to the accountant because that validates you can deduct that. Yep. So, and that's obviously the key that unlocks the whole thing.
So it's a three-legged stool, as I like to say. You need your administrator, you need your accountant, CPA, you need your financial advisor. If all three are working together and equal, you have something you can sit on. It's something solid. But here's what we're finding, and Tim will jump in and kind of ask about the tax savings and how that works and different types of businesses and what businesses qualify. But what I want to talk about right now is I'm finding more and more, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm beating up on the CPA world, but we find that oftentimes we as financial advisors are the ones bringing this strategy to the table, and CPAs tend not to bring it to the table. And Tim, you came from the accounting world. Maybe you can share with me why that is, or correct me if I'm wrong and say, Steve, it's not really that way. But I'm going to tell you, I've been doing this stuff for 35 years. And it's all too often I'll run into a business and say, how come you don't have this? And they said, well, our accountant never told us about it. So I'm looking at this three-legged stool, and sometimes all three legs aren't on the ground. And somebody's got to be the leadership of saying, hey, here's an idea for you, just like we're doing today. So, Timmy, maybe you want to weigh in. Let's get the discussion going, because it aggravates me sometimes when I see this and say, how was this missed? When I bring a new client in and I see something missed, it boggles my mind on how it got missed by the accounting world.
Yeah, it's a good point, Steve. One short answer is the fact that maybe sometimes the CPA is too concerned or too involved with the compliance side of things than the strategic side of things. The compliance side of things happens in the beginning of the year, and it's a major time pressure for the CPA. But the rest of the year, after April 15th, is the time where something like this, which is a very exciting, if you're a business owner, this applies to you. There may not be a more exciting tax deduction or potential as a business owner and looking to save tax. For those that it applies to, it's a key term. This very particular strategy, I have to admit, is underserved. It's not as well known as your 401ks, as IRA contributions, other similar types of things. I'm not really sure why, but maybe because it's going to apply to very smaller businesses, right? The lesser the amount of employees here, the better, for example. Maybe even no employees other than the owner is an ultimate candidate for this. So it does not apply to just each and every business, even though you're qualified to do that. It's not going to be the strategy in place that you can implement above and beyond your 401k plan itself. So, but ignoring that, for those that it applies to, and it applies to very many, here's the thing. I think this is a dynamite approach for business owners, and there may be partners, right, in a law firm, for example, or a physician's practice, where you see that there's top heavy in terms of partners and owners, and then there's a few support staff that don't generate the type of income that the owners do. There's no better strategy from a tax standpoint. The higher the tax bracket you are, the better. The closer to retirement, the closer to your 60s and so that you are, the better, because you are allowed to put more money in those years into your plans. Maybe when you just have the cash flow ability to do so as well, to really supercharge your retirement plan, retirement savings prior to your retirement, make it easier to retire, honestly, too. But the tax savings can be in the 5-digit range. It's just fabulous.
I agree. And I think what I heard you correctly, I think it had all over it. Appropriate. Is this plan appropriate for this particular client in terms of what they can do and what they would want to do? And so I think that really describes what we said about that. The accountant determines whether or not it's appropriate. And one of the reasons that the accountants have put this off and sort of backburnered any discussion about defined benefit plans is that there is a level of complexity and a level of compliance. And you hit that term right on the head, Tim, because that level of compliance can be very daunting, and you don't want to lead your client into something that you don't particularly understand. And a lot of people have a past knowledge, I think. A lot of accountants that I meet, when we begin talking, they have a past knowledge of defined benefit plans. They think of them as rigid. They think of them as needing this and that and the other thing. And when in fact, they have become very flexible over the years. And in fact, if you're working with a good third-party administrator, why, they're going to be able to keep the plan very flexible over time, especially with a cash balance plan when you have employees, which is key. And so everybody thinks, well, gosh, why don't more people have this type of plan? Well, it's generally a lack of understanding. And what we like to do is talk to accountants and with financial advisors and make sure everybody's up to date on the most current information. And that's generally a good communication. And the right information really does help a client benefit.
Maybe a business owner, because of the way they think, says, I understand that this is available. I understand there's maybe a cost to matching employees, and maybe that won't be all that much. What would the cost of the plan to administer and third party? Give me an example of a small firm with maybe 1 to 5 employees.
Sure. Those fees amount to several thousand dollars a year. With someone has a plan that size, 5 employees and under, that's a rough thing, but generally that's correct. About $5,000 for a client that size. Then when you start these plans up, there's a cost involved in there. And that's something around probably $3,500 or so. And that should be about what it costs to set up the two plans, meaning the Safe Harbor 401k and the cash balance plan, if you have employees, about $5,000 a year to administer it. So it's not a huge burden in terms of the fees if the benefit is there. And that's obviously what the accountant does, what the CPA does, is measure that value proposition. Am I getting good value for what I'm paying for? And that's reasonable in everything in life, and especially so. So I would say anywhere from 5 to 10, even if you have more employees than 5. So it's right up in that area. The smaller the person is in terms of their business, the smaller the fee. And that's, it doesn't just necessarily mean that you equate that to the value that they're getting out of putting all of that money away. So I mean, there's value there. You know, self-employed people, and just generally, they don't do enough thinking about their retirement. And I've found that in the 40 years I've done this. And, you know, it's always last. It's always the last thing on the list. And I felt good about that from that standpoint of being able to help people who really are behind on their retirement planning.
And Phil, we find that too. I mean, we find it that, you know, the business owner all day is so into working on the business and in the business that they kind of neglect their own well-being when it comes to their savings. It's probably important to note that obviously if you're a C corp, this isn't the space you're in, correct me if I'm wrong, it's more S corps, partnerships, sole proprietors that fall into the space when you're doing a filtering system of who would most likely benefit from this. It comes down to smaller number of employees, certain type of corporate structure, correct?
Yes, and I would say that's exactly right. S corps and folks who have partnerships and who are in fact even maybe have an LLC and they report their income on a Schedule C, right down there, they're the majority of the people who take advantage of this. And C corps, yeah, we actually have a number of them. Some people have a C corp for a very small business for different other reasons, you know, liability and so forth.
All right. I think we did the topic justice. Timmy, any final word?
Sure. Thanks, Steve. I'd like to end by saying when it comes to tax strategizing, this type of plan that is available for tax deduction is one of the most lucrative there is available. 401ks are as common as a Tic Tac today. It's no secret that 401k type plans are out there and being utilized. This one's underappreciated, underutilized, and the word needs to get out. Ask your tax preparer, what's the difference between a DB plan and a contribution plan, and can that apply to me? If so, but you have to have the liquidity to do this too. You have to have the excess cash or maybe even savings in order to make this a great tax deduction. I want to make a point too to say that this is a tax deferral. You're deferring taxes at your current rates if you can apply this to your current year tax situation and pushing your income to a later year, hopefully when you're retired and your income is much lower and can withdraw monies in years where the tax rate is much lower as well, since your income is. We're here to raise awareness. I hope we're doing that today. And that's my final thought, Steve.
And Timmy, just to let everybody know, we do have a white paper available for those that want to learn more about the different types of retirement vehicles, specifically in the defined benefit space. So I would advise anyone who's a business owner, if you want to read up on this topic, just please reach out to us. It's asksteve@cfnplan.com. That's asksteve@cfn, as in Cardasco Financial Network. Plan, the word plan, plan.com. I'd be more than happy to get that piece out to you that gives you a platform to learn more about how these vehicles work. Special thank you to my friend and coworker, Tim Joseph, CPA, financial advisor, Cardasco Financial Network, and Philip Perio, who is senior plan design consultant and dedicated defined benefit services group, part of Future Plan by Ascensus. They're administrators to retirement plans. We lean on them at Cardasco Financial Network to do a lot of the filing and compliance of retirement vehicles, the third party administrating of vehicles. And Timmy and I are the guys who are there strategizing and coming up with whether or not ideas like the one we presented to you make sense.
Thank you very much for having me today.
Thrilled that you were able to be part of the Your Life, Your Wealth podcast today. And if you need to reach us or you want more information on this particular topic or have ideas for topics for us to talk about or just have general questions on your life, your wealth, you can reach me at asksteve@cfnplan.com. That's asksteve@cfnplan.com. Make it a great week. Thanks so much for being part of the Your Life, Your Wealth podcast with me, Steve Cordesco.
If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discuss to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cordesco Financial Network at cfnplan.com.